From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Tyler Rocky and Barry Cronin, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Good morning and welcome in. It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. I'm Tyler Rocky. He's Barry Cronin. We've got a great show on tap for you today. Speaking of the Glenview Park Golf Club, we're going to talk with Ron Cassidy from the Glenview Park Golf Club. He's going to join us at 7:35. We'll also talk to Tony Dirks from the PGA Superstore as well. He's going to tell you everything that you need to know about what sort of gear you need. Because guess what? It was a beautiful day yesterday, Barry. I don't know if you heard. I don't know if you went outside at all. I don't know if you swung the club at all yesterday. But we got some fantastic weather here, and I'm sure plenty of you out there got a chance to get out there, at least hit the range or do something golf-related, if not play an entire 18 or maybe even 36 if you had the time yesterday to get out there. But good morning to you, Barry. Glad to have you back here on the show after your little week off last week. But did you get outside? Did you do anything golf-related yesterday?
I did. After I recovered from the shock of it being 70 degrees in the morning and then 80 degrees in the afternoon, you know, you get all bundled up to go outside because you figure, hey, it's 40 and raining, which has been all of the month of April. I did go out, and I did go to the driving range. And well, the great thing about it yesterday was the driving range was pointed in a direction whereby I had a 21-mile-an-hour wind behind me. So it was
always
awesome.
Helpful.
I had swung a little bit because I was out. I was down in the down south a little bit, but I hadn't really swung a club in Chicago for the last 6 months, and boy, the ball took off. It went a long way, even though it was a hack fest, my normal hack fest. The ball went a long way, and then you hit a 7-iron, and it still went a long way. And I'm like, dude, I love this game. So it was great, and it was really nice to have, and it was great to see a lot of the same people that you see. You know, friends that you know and everything, guys that are, you know, all the degenerate golfers that are out there on the range, you know, first day, and you know, the guys are so into it. So it was really cool. Very nice to have a nice day. When we talk to Ron Cassidy, we'll be going to ask him about how, you know, we've had a complete darkness in the month of April in Chicago. So how that's affecting courses in the area.
We'll also talk to Eric Ciotti as well later on in the show, one of the analysts for the Big Ten Network. There's a big event coming up, the championships for the conference coming up over the next couple of weeks. So we'll get his input as well on everything that's going on. I met Eric the other day at our great CDGA event that was held at the Glenview Park Golf Club. Unfortunately, it got a little washed out. We got 10 holes in, which, to be honest, 10 more holes than I thought we were going to play on Friday, if you remember some of the rains that were coming down. But we want to hear from you, too. Did you get out there and play yesterday? Did you do any golf-related activities? 312-332-3776. Again, 312-332-3776. We want to know where you played, how you played, and what your next golf adventure is going to be. Maybe it's going to be today. There might be a little window of opportunity later on. So if you've got any golf plans, we'd love to hear them. 312-332-3776. We'll also give away some of those CDGA prize packs as well, those starter packs to get you ready for the season. So be listening for that. We'll give one of those away around 7:15, 7:45, 8:15, 8:45. Sound like a plan to you, Barry?
Sounds like a plan. Because those prize packs, they have golf balls in there.
There's balls. There's tees in there.
Towels.
Hats.
Everything you need, man, to
and if you need to fuel up.
Golf.
And if you need to fuel up after a round, there's a free Jersey Mike sub in there as well. Or maybe pre-fuel. Get some fuel before your round
that
as
way
well.
You eat half and then you eat the other half before you tee off a number 10. You know, so you got to have a plan going.
Exactly. So getting into yesterday, I think a very welcome surprise for everyone that temperatures got into the 80s. It was perfect golf weather. two friends of the show, Chris Bleck, Adam Abdallah, I saw them out golfing yesterday. They played 18. But it's nice to finally get some of these days. I guess the unfortunate part is you look at the next couple of days, it's going to be back in the 40s and 50s and things slowing down a little bit. But
when you get these spot days like that, I'm always one, you get out there, you take advantage in some sort of capacity.
Well, when you get the days, you have to. You have to. It's like anything else. Once you get a nice day in the Midwest, you really got to take advantage of it. Front load your life, you know,
yep.
And because there's really not. It isn't like when you're in Arizona or Florida or California, and it's a nice day every day. And
yeah.
It's a nice day here, you know. Occasionally, you know, maybe, you know, mid June, you can kind of count on it being a nice day, but. Yeah, but we'll have to deal with the rain and weird weather even through the month of May. I mean, I've been involved over the years with you have media days for golf tournaments, and you think, wow, let's do it on May 15th. It'll be great. The player can come in, and we'll have all the media here and everything. And you know, sometimes it can you know, it's raining, sleeting, 45 degrees.
That's a wild card for
whatever,
sure. April,
you know,
and May, you never
gotta
know.
You got to cancel, and everybody sits around and has a cup of coffee, and it's a drag. But, yeah, but you know what? You have to get out and take advantage of what Mother Nature gives you, for sure.
I look at what we had yesterday. Now, I didn't have a chance to get out swing a club yesterday. I did play in the CDGA member appreciation event on Friday.
Right.
And just to get out there and hit the ball, it felt good to be back in the swing of things in a competition type of atmosphere.
Right.
And that's one of the beautiful things of the CDGA is they have all these great events scheduled throughout the year. And even though we only got 10 holes in, it felt like a victory just to get a couple in,
right.
Despite the fact that there were conditions. I'm texting Mike Gilligan, is this thing still on? Are we still doing this? And they said, yeah, we're going to try. We're going to try it. And boy, did they try. And boy, it was a great success. A lot of fun meeting a bunch of people out there. I played with some great people as well. But yeah, it was an awesome, awesome time, an awesome, awesome event. And to see everyone back out in the competition atmosphere on a day where at least it was a warm enough day where
right.
you could get out there,
right.
play, swing. Sure, you had your pants on and maybe a jacket too, but it was definitely good enough conditions until the rain started to come in.
I would just like to say I'm happy you had your pants on. but no, it was great. And the only thing bad about Friday was the only thing cold about Friday was the rain, right? I mean, the temperature was fine. And I think there were listeners out there, which was really
yes.
nice, too.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to meet listeners. So it's good to know that, you know, the message that we're putting out in our bottle is actually being read and
yeah.
listened to. So it's great.
Yeah,
that was fun.
It was a fantastic event out there. We met a bunch of listeners, like you said. We saw a bunch of people with the CDGA. Meeting some people with the CDGA for the first time as well, which was a lot of fun, including Eric Ciotti, who's going to join us at 8:35 later on today. But if you went out and played over the weekend, 312-332-3776, if you took advantage of that beautiful weather, we would love to hear from you and tell us where you played, how you played, and what's next for you. Because there might be a little bit of a window of opportunity. I have a tee time for later today.
Oh,
Sunset Valley in Highland Park.
Yeah.
We'll see if the weather's going to hold up.
Yeah,
we'll see.
You know, just bring those pants, bring that mm-hmm. umbrella, you know. It's so funny. These pros, they play through every condition in the world, and I'm kind of at the point where I go, well, rain? I don't think so.
No, nobody's more privy to weather than the golfer.
Oh, too. Yeah.
Nobody is a better expert on tracking radars
right.
and all that stuff than a golfer is.
100%.
Because you are stalking that thing out, it feels like every 15 or so minutes to see if there's any sort of change. And you almost feel like you're an amateur meteorologist by the time you're done looking through all of these maps and graphs and all that stuff. You're probably just a couple credits shy from a weather degree at that point.
Yeah. And it's funny that you mentioned that, because when I was on the driving range yesterday talking to guys and I got the whole weather report from a buddy. He's like, yeah, you know, today's going to be fine, but it's going to be bad next week. And, you know, and he was running down the weather report. So you're 100% right.
Everyone's got the internal 10-day in their
right,
mind, right.
right? Well, and the beauty is now you have apps on your phone. There's a bunch of weather apps, and you can you can check them out and see what's going to happen 10 days from now. Even in Chicago, which is hard to predict what's going to happen in the weather, but you know, you get some idea.
Well, what do you do in particular to take advantage of these sort of pop-up days where the weather's good. You got an 80-degree day yesterday. But these next couple of days, it's probably not the most of ideal conditions to get out, go play, go even hit the range for a little bit. What are you doing to still be active, even though I don't know if I'm going to have another round for maybe a week or two?
Right. I mean, it's kind of like yesterday. If you don't have a regular tee time on, I think a lot of the courses, you know, your regular tee times have started early in April. So a lot of those tee times are full, and then the courses are kind of full. So you know, you hit the driving range. It's a great time to practice putting and short game stuff if you have a good place to do that. The other thing, you try to get work done when the weather's bad, you know, so that when the weather's good, you don't have to sit there and say, "Wow, it's 75 and I've got work to do." So try to get your work done in advance.
Right. Putting is something that certainly I think goes by the wayside on those days, because you just want to get out there and swing the club, right?
Exactly.
That's your mindset. You want to go out there, dust off the driver that's been sitting in your bag for 6-7 months now. And the people that I played with in the CDGA member appreciation, Daniel, Frank, Brian, I mean, they saw my atrocious putting out there, and they can probably attest that needed a little bit of brush up, and something that I definitely need to maybe put a little more attention into.
You need one of those, you know, indoor greens, the big moss golf greens or whatever, and you can work on that during the winter. But it's a good time that, you know, if the weather's still bad, you know, there's certain little golf exercises and things like that. We had a big story about that in Chicago District Golfer last November. And the story was about, what do you do for the next 5 months to get ready for the season? Well, I read it, and I actually kind of assigned it, you know, and I didn't do anything other than go to the gym and do different things. But, you know, you have a couple of weeks now where you could actually kind of maybe stretch, work on your core a little bit, things like that.
That's another part. I went to the range, I want to say it was 2 weeks ago, and if you haven't swung a club, you're going to feel it the first couple of days.
No doubt about it.
And it may be more than a couple of days, too. Maybe it's 3-4 days where you're feeling some of that soreness in you. So that's why I always recommend you get out, you go to a driving range first, kind of get those muscles back in condition, back into golf shape, per se, so that you don't have that after a round, and maybe you're going to play. Some people, I'm sure, had tee times for today and yesterday as well, and you don't want to have that sort of soreness lingering in your body for a couple of days down the road, and you're really hurting on that Sunday round after you play on a Saturday.
No doubt about it. And the other thing, I think it's, you know, everybody, we all think, well, we're going to get better. And I think maybe if this is the time of year where it's early. So if you have a teaching pro, or if you don't have a teaching pro, now's the time to try to, if you have trouble putting, if you have trouble with your, if you want to improve your short game, which can really help the average golfer, because the average golfer misses a lot of greens. So you're trying to get up and down all the time. And that really is what, to me, in my experience, sadly, causes double bogeys all the time. But if you can improve your short game and get up and down a little bit better, you can really lower your score. So it might be not a bad time to try to reach out to a teaching pro that you might know that could give you, just get you on the path to a little bit better golf. It doesn't take that much, a few lessons on your short game or on your putting. Maybe your putter's too long. Maybe it's too short. Maybe you should be trying a different technique. Maybe you've got the yips. You got to grab your left arm and hang on to the putter. It happens. So, I mean, this is the time of year, I think, because otherwise now you're going to wait, and you'll be playing a lot, you'll wait, and now it'll be July, and you'll say, oh, man, it's too late to go to a pro now, and then you sort of give up on the season. But I think this is a good time of year to maybe reach out to a local professional, even if he works at a private club, because some of the private club pros can bring you onto their driving range and give you a lesson there. And so I think this is the time of year to do that. You know, get your PGA professional. And they're all, you know, they're online and everything. So you could do that.
Everything a click away these days. It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. We're going to talk to Ron Cassidy from the Glenview Park Golf Club coming up at 7:35. But coming up next, It's the Zurich Classic going on in New Orleans right now, the two-man team event. We'll give you an update of what the leaderboard looks like. And do you like this event? Do you like the two-man format? 312-332-3776. We want to hear from you. Also, if you played yesterday, if you have plans to play for today, maybe you played Friday as well. Maybe you were in the CDGA member appreciation event with Barry and I on Friday. We'd love to hear from you. 312-332-3776. The CDGA Golf Show. We'll be right back.
Golf is on your mind and on the air right now.
This is the CDGA Golf Show
on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Welcome back to the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. I'm Tyler Rocky. He's Barry Cronin. All guests joining us on the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. This segment is brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. We're going to talk to Ron Cassidy from the Glenview Park Golf Club coming up at 7:35. But first, let's give away one of these CDGA prize packs. Here's what you're going to get in one of these bad boys. This is exactly what you need to get ready for the golf season. Make sure you are in prime condition, ready to go. So you're going to get a CDGA towel, a Blackhawks towel, a sleeve of zero friction distance golf balls, a CDGA hat, a divot repair tool, and a free Jersey Mike sub. All of that. Here's what we're going to do here. All right, we're taking a look at the Zurich Classic going on in New Orleans right now, and the leaderboard currently has Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay at 29 under. So let's take caller 29 here for these CDGA prize packs. So be caller 29 right now, 312-332-3776. You're going to win that CDGA starter pack courtesy of the CDGA. All right. So, Barry, let's get into this event that's going on right now down in New Orleans. I mean, you look at what went down yesterday with Xander and with Patrick Cantlay, 29 under. They birdie 8 of the final 9 holes. They were on a tear yesterday, really separating themselves from the rest of the competition there. They hold the 5-stroke lead right now over Garrick Higo and Brandon Grace, who are 24 under, a very respectable 24 under, absolutely, might I add. Yeah, and then you've got Sam Burns, Billy Horschel, that's sitting at 23 back, along with Jason Shrivner and Jason Day, Aaron Rye and David Lipsky, all at 23 under and sitting 6 strokes back, and then Wyndham Clark and Cameron Tringale at 22 under, and they're 7 back right now.
Right. Yeah, Schauffele and Cantlay have a 5-stroke lead, so it's really going to be a fight for second place. Those two players are just utterly elite, no doubt about it, Cantlay and Schauffele. They're good buddies. They are both from California. They hang out together. They go on vacation together, so they're very comfortable with one another. They were a really great team at the Ryder Cup, and they will be a great team at the President's Cup coming up later this year. In second place, you have the two guys from South Africa, Garrick Higo and Brandon Grace, Sam Burns and Billy Horschel in third, and as you said, Jason Day and Jason Scrivener, T3, along with David Lipsky and Aaron Rye. And Lipsky went to Northwestern, so we got a little bit of a local angle. The other local angle is that we got some good news for our two Chicago area guys that we root for all the time, Nick Hardy and his partner Curtis Thompson, who won the Evan Scholars Invitational a couple of years ago. Made the cut. They're at 16 under par. They're T28. And Doug Gim and by the way, Nick is from Glenbrook North, which I guess you don't really like.
I'm a Titan. He's a Spartan.
Right, but, right. But you'll
we bond over the Chicago area.
Right,
golfing
right.
Scene.
You know, there's a rivalry, but you let loose of the rivalry when anyway. And then of course Doug Gim, who's you know, born in Des Plaines, grew up in Buffalo Grove and everything. He and his partner, Matthias Schwab, are T35. So they both made the cut, and the two of them have been struggling a bit this year, and so it's good to see them make a cut and earn a little money and some FedEx Cup points. The goal for them is to just, you know, stay in the top 125 this year and not lose their cards, because there's the season. It's a long season, but you've got to make hay when you can. So it's good for them this week.
And in the case of Hardy and Thompson, I mean, okay, so we talked about who's leading the event right now with Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele, and that's one of the best name brand pairings,
right,
that we have.
100%.
But the other really good one, name brand wise, Colin Morikawa and Victor Hovland, they're sitting at 16 under. They're tied with Nick Hardy and Curtis Thompson right now. So after three rounds, that you can hang your hat on that.
What a game, baby. What a game. It's crazy. It's crazy. And you're right. We have a great two really good names at the top. But the other and Burns and Horschel are sort of well known. Jason Day is kind of well known. But you know, you go through the leaderboard, and really, there's a lot of you got to go down to T9 before you find Lowry and Shane Lowry, who won the British Open
Ian
a couple
Poulter,
years
yeah.
ago, and Ian Poulter, who everybody knows, and then you have Harold Varner and Bubba Watson. But I'm sure the PGA Tour would like to have those names up closer to the top of the leaderboard and competing a little bit more with Schauffele and Cantlay. It could make it a much better event, but you can't control that kind of thing when you're making out the schedule. So, but I really am interested. Do you like the two man thing? Because I know there are people who are a little bit meh. You know, they don't really like it. And there's been some talk. I remember reading the last couple of years about maybe this format kind of goes away. But what do you think about it?
It's a format that I would probably like to participate in more than I would like to consume,
right,
if that makes sense.
Right.
Like, I look at an event like this, and I think to myself, that's something that I'd love to go out and do, pair up with one of my buddies, go out there and go play. But in terms of investing and sitting down and watching it, it doesn't get me going as much. How do you feel on the matter?
Well, you have these formats, better ball of pairs, which is both guys play in their own ball. Whoever mm-hmm. gets a better score, against the other team wins the hole, which is fine. And then the alternate shot, which I kind of like alternate shot, but we see this in the Ryder Cup, and it's so compelling. But you see it in a regular PGA Tour event. There is a split, though. Again, the driving range experience yesterday that I had, we're all talking about this stuff. What do you think about it? Oh, I really like it. And the other guy says, oh, I hate it. It's awful. So there is a division of opinion on it. I think the real key thing for the PGA Tour is if Zurich likes it, they're going to keep it.
Right.
And as soon as Zurich says, mm-hmm. we want to go back to, we don't really think this is good, we thought this would be better, it's a way to distinguish the event from all the other stroke play events on the PGA Tour. I mean, there's like 40 or 42 stroke play events on the PGA Tour every year. And after a while, it gets a little bit tedious. So I think Zurich and the PGA Tour tried to do something, I think, 5 or 6 years ago when they started this event. Look, they tried. And I think there's a division of opinion. I'm a little bit like, it's a little bit hard to follow, too, you know, because
yeah.
you don't really know, hey, who's on whose team, and it's not the same team every year. The Euros tend to pair up together like the Australians. So, for example, mm-hmm. you have Jason Day and Jason Scrivener, the Jason team, which makes it, if you were playing with him, you'd only have to remember one name, which is what I really like in a deal.
Make life easy on the writers, right?
Two different names, it's very confusing. But, Lowry and Poulter, Bubba Watson and Harold Varner, what a cool pairing. But
right.
you're not seeing them on TV, which is unfortunate. If they were playing a little bit better, you'd see them on TV, right? And we're not seeing them because they're not playing well enough. But when you get guys like Wyndham Clark and Cameron Tringale, you go, I mean, they're good players, and it's like, yeah, but you know, nobody could, and they're in sixth place. Mark Hubbard and Ryan Brehm, I mean, God bless them both, wonderful family guys, I'm sure, great golfers, but nobody knows who they are. So it's a little bit, it's tough, you know, it's just a tough event. I think
I'm with you. Listen, I'm glad you brought up the part of The PGA wants to throw something else out there,
exactly.
Right?
Yep.
Aside from their stroke play events, which consume the bulk of the entire schedule. And I'm all for that. But you bring up how it's a similar format and everything to the Ryder Cup, but the difference is the names.
Right.
The names that are participating in these sort of events is not nearly on par with what we see at the Ryder Cup. And it would grab my attention a little bit more if we saw all of the bigger names. If Dustin Johnson was out there, Rory McIlroy, if you look at like Scottie Scheffler, if he was playing an event like this, that grabs my attention right now a little bit more, as opposed to what we're seeing right now in an event like this, where you look through some of the leaderboard and
right.
there's names that you see up there that you know. But they're not necessarily names that you're gravitating towards.
Right, right. But the thing about it is, with the PGA Tour, those guys only play so many events. You know, Jordan Spieth used to play this event. He was paired with Ryan Palmer a couple of years ago, and now he's not playing. As you said, McIlroy's not playing. There's a reason they're not playing.
Right.
You know,
they're not interested.
Well, yes, and they've got to take off certain weeks, right? They can't play every single mm-hmm. week. They're not going to play. I mean, Tiger's scheduling around the majors, especially for these big name guys, they've got their PGA Tour cards. They're not worried about, oh no, I have to win. They're exempt for a lot of events because they've won major championships. They're the big names. So they don't have to go play. A lot of these guys, look at Hardy and Gim, they have to play in events that they can get in, because there are events that they can't get in. So when you see names like Ryan Brehm and Grayson Sigg and Sepp Straka, who actually won an event this year, Bryce Garrett, I mean, these are names that I know, right, because mm-hmm. I follow it, but the average fan, there's no way that
right.
they know who these guys are. So,
especially because the purpose of an event like this is probably to draw in new fans, new eyeballs, because it's a little bit different.
Right.
But if you don't have that name brand
yeah.
associated with it, probably a little bit tougher to do.
Well, right. And when you and I think of it, we watch the Ryder Cup, right? We watch the President's mm-hmm. Cup. We keep track of the world golf rankings, and we're into it, right? So we know that Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay are like great players, right?
Right.
But the average fan, I mean, if we were to go out here on State Street and Lake, you know, and ask, hey, who's Xander Schauffele? You'd get a totally blank stare.
Right.
It's just the way it is. So, you know, it's a good event. As long as Zurich likes it, it is a little bit different. You're not necessarily going to get name brand players at the top of the leaderboard, as you pointed out. Morikawa and Hovland, who are two great players. Morikawa was a two-time major winner 5 minutes after mm-hmm. he got out of college. He wins
right.
two majors. And, of course,
Hovland's probably got a couple in his future.
Hovland's going to – he's a terrific young player. So, not every event can be the top tier event. So that's just the way it is on the tour.
Right. All right. When we come back, we will talk to Ron Cassidy from the Glenview Park Golf Club, our presenting sponsor here on the CDGA Golf Show. This segment was sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. We're going to pick Ron Cassidy's brain on all things leading into this golf season, some events going on, and how they keep these courses ready to go this early in the season, especially after April's pretty much been a wash. We'll do all that coming up next on the CDGA Golf Show.
How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000.
Here are your hosts, Barry Cronin
and Tyler Rocky.
We're back on the CDGA Golf Show. Tyler Rocky, Barry Cronin. This segment is brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Wheel Pro Golf Bag. So, Barry, we were out there at Glenview Park Golf Club, our great presenting sponsor that we have here on the show, and we got to talk with the Director of Golf Operations for the Glenview Park District, Ron Cassidy, who now joins us on the program. Ron, good morning to you. I know you said you were going to do this interview from your bed. It's so damn early for you.
Are you in bed right now? Have you woken up? Did we wake you up? Did Jake wake you up, our great producer, Jake Cantu?
I am not in bed, gentlemen. We're all good. We're up and rolling around and actually getting ready to head into the office here in a little bit.
Ron, good to talk to you. Yesterday, of course, was a fabulous day for golf. What was the state of Glenview Park Golf Course yesterday and the Prairie Club over there across from the Glen Club?
Let's just say there wasn't an open tee time available. It was fantastic. It was so nice to be back to seeing people out on the course and enjoying some great weather. We had jam-packed tee times all day long. People were happy. They were just happy to be out playing and smiles and enjoying the course, both courses. I talked to Kristen, our manager, with the nine-hole course, and I just said, "Hey, how we doing?" She just said, "We're busy." that's a good problem to have.
Ron Cassidy, the director of golf operations for the Glenview Park District, joining us here on the CDGA Golf Show. Now, Ron, what are some of the challenges that come with, you have a pop-up day that's 80 degrees, but now you look at the forecast for today and the rest of the week, and you're looking at rain, you're looking at cold conditions. How do you manage a golf course, and especially the upkeep of making sure that course is in pristine condition when you have a great day like we did yesterday, and now it's kind of suspect weather for the rest of the week?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. It's super challenging. Our golf course superintendent, Todd, does a wonderful job of just staying ahead of it, using some agricultural practices ahead of the weather to make sure that we're ready for these ups and downs. There's no doubt we've gotten just a ton of moisture this year, and being out and prepared and doing some birdie draining and getting water off the greens, making sure that those draining well will help us prepare for these. I think Friday after the event when we had you guys out, we got another inch of rain. So the soil profile is just saturated, and it's got nowhere to go. But, we always talk about a renovation a couple years ago now. Well, gosh, 7 years ago now, it seems like just yesterday. But we're moving water off the golf course and putting it in non-playable spots and making sure that our playing surfaces are as dry as they can be. It's as much as an art as it is a science, making sure that we're doing everything we can to stay ahead of it. From both the course upkeep side to the staffing side, it's always a challenge to guess how many folks you bring in to manage operations and have our starters and rangers out there greeting you. There's no doubt that you got to just kind of go with the flow and make sure you're doing the best you can with what you got.
Yeah, Rick Jacobson did a phenomenal job of renovating that course and getting the flooding situation taken care of. I mean, you can imagine what the flooding would be now if you hadn't had that. Ron, just curious, how many days for play did you have in the month of April? I assume not too many. And how does that impact not only you but all the other operators of golf courses in the Chicago area in terms of your budgets, and you look forward to the season? How will that cramp your style at all in terms of course conditioning, et cetera?
Yeah. This spring and April especially certainly sets the tone for the rest of the year. After putting the clubs away in late September and October, and, the diehards tuck them away in November, unless you're going to southern climates or anything like that, people get a whole bunch of pent-up energy and they want to play. And when they can't, in my opinion, they're forced to go find some other recreational activities, and they don't find that groove. Sure, they want to come out and play, but if they can get out early and have a couple great rounds and have some nice weather, that's kind of ingrained in their recreational activities for the summer, and they'll play more. I've noticed when we look at our annual rounds counts, and when we've had good Aprils, we've had good seasons. And of course the fall season helps, but the spring really kind of sets the tone and getting people out and wanting to play. Fortunately we've seen real, real strong participation with our season pass programs and our punch cards. In fact, our permanent tee times that start next week, we're up 14% in our permanent tee times from last year. So there's definitely that demand that we've seen the last couple of years, and people are just aching to get out.
What do you think, Ron? People are going back to work. the pandemic is seemingly, whatever it is, you know, who God knows what it is. But are you seeing, are you anticipating that, hey, people are going back to the office? Our numbers are not going to be as unbelievable as they were the last 2 years. And what do other people in the industry think?
Well, you know, we said that last year, too, after the huge increase in 2020, even with the shortened season, we saw a huge increase again in 21. I don't know that we'll be that optimistic this year just because, yeah, people are going back to the office. But I think what the pandemic taught us, too, is that people are able to work from different spots and do remote working. So those who want to play are going to find the time to come out and play and use, you know, take advantages of the different technology to come out and, you know, sneak away for a late afternoon meeting, as they say.
Ron Cassidy from the Glenview Park District, Director of Golf Operations there. I want to follow up on that right there, because you talked about how the numbers are way up. What does it look like from a youth standpoint or a teenager's, maybe early 20s, for some of these kids who, okay, maybe they just got into golf during the pandemic because it was one of the only things that you could have done at the beginning of the pandemic. But what does the age demographic look like, and how much of it would you say is people in their 20s versus the other crowd that you're used to seeing at the golf course?
We've definitely seen a strong participation in our youth programs, and not necessarily our 20-year-olds, but I'm talking our school-age children. Mm-hmm. In our developmental programs, in our academy, Mike Stone, our head teaching professional, has just done a great job with that program. One of the things, once again, the pandemic taught us is we lowered our class sizes just due to the restrictions and so forth. But we did that again in 21 and noticed that we're able to provide far better instruction, have more, closer instructor to student ratios. And developing those kids and getting them out. Our youth programs are sold out once again for the summer. Yesterday, when you talk about that mid-20s demographic, we saw some younger folks out on the course. I saw some younger couples that I've never seen before, and I'm going to put them maybe in their late 20s, early 30s, but certainly a group that has probably been exposed to the game has definitely gotten attraction to it and wants to keep playing. So We are seeing a demographic shift. I'd love for that to keep going and see more of those folks. But it starts with our kids and getting them interested in the game, forming good fundamentals, good habits, right down to, just set up posture alignment and, getting them swinging good before they start swinging the old Happy Gilmore way.
Well, and you said, Ron, that you're permanent tee times are up 14%. I think that's how significant is that? When you talk to other people in the industry, is that taking place and being carried out at other courses?
I'd like to think it is. I haven't talked to any of my other local operators about that specifically, but I think people have realized over the last couple of years that they're tired of getting up and trying to fight for a tee time. And even though we can book a week in advance and go online and book that way, I think they just wanted the convenience of knowing they've got a great time on a Saturday or Sunday morning. And, we're real flexible with our program. If you can't make it, you get somebody to fill in for you. And we just want four people every 10 minutes enjoying the golf course.
Ron Cassidy, the Director of Golf Operations for the Glenview Park District, with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. So, Ron, Barry and I, we've talked about the Prairie Club. We've talked about the Glenview Park Golf Club. But tell people listening right now why their next tee time should be at one of those two courses.
Well, of course, I'm biased. But, we've got two spectacular golf courses that always in such great condition. Our superintendent, Todd Vermillion, does an awesome job keeping Glenview Park Golf Club all together and just maintaining it to the standards of a private club. Our Prairie Club, our 9-hole course located on the Glen, we've got a real unique agreement with Kemper Sports Management for maintenance of that. And Adam Willis, who's the golf course superintendent over there, does a nice job Both courses designed by our own Glenview native Rick Jacobson, who, you know, it's his hometown pride and really put a lot of heart and a lot of love into the design of both golf courses. You know, the Prairie Club, you know, you're going to go play superb bent grass conditions from tee to green for under $20 for a little 9-hole course. And we've got lots of options for the Glenview Park Golf Club with season passes and punch cards. And if you come out and enjoy us a bunch of times, you can save a lot of money doing it that way. So, you know, always friendly. We get one of the unique things about W Park, we've got the thin scooters, the motorcycle golf carts, whatever you want to call them, which are a ton of fun. You strap your bag onto the middle of it and ride around like a little moped there.
You made me feel like Steve McQueen in The Great Escape, Ron. It was the best. It was so cool.
Yeah, that's right. You took one last year.
I did. It was great.
All right, Ron, we appreciate you joining us this morning. You can check out all the tee times for the Glenview Park Golf Club and the Glenview Prairie Club at golfglenview.com. Great to see you on Friday as well, and we look forward to chatting with you down the road and seeing you out at the Glenview Park Golf Club and the Prairie Club.
Absolutely, guys. Great to have you. Great to see you on Friday. And, let's hope we get back out and play all 18 without any moisture, huh?
Absolutely. All right. Ron Cassidy, the director of golf operations for the Glenview Park District. He was our guest on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. Jersey Mike's, a sub above. When we come back, we'll give away another one of those CDGA prize packs, starter packs for you. And we'll get into a little bit more of what's going on at the Zurich Classic, because there's a couple leftover thoughts that Barry and I wanted to get to as well. This segment brought to you by Zero Friction, the most innovative product company in golf.
Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Barry Cronin and Tyler Aki.
This segment brought to you by Tullymore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. I'm Tyler Aki. He's Barry Cronin. Let's give away another one of those CDGA starter packs. How about it, huh, Barry?
That would be great.
So
everybody needs one.
You were talking earlier in the break to me about Bill and Jay Haas, and that's one of your biggest stories, your feel-good story from the Zurich Classic down in New Orleans right now. They are currently 12 under, so let's take caller 12. Caller 12, you're going to win a CDGA starter pack. What's in it? You get a towel from the CDGA, you get a Blackhawks towel, you get a sleeve of Zero Friction distance golf balls, a CDGA hat, divot repair tool, and a free Jersey Mike sub. So be caller 12 right now, 312-332-3776. You were talking about Bill and Jay Haas and the story, the feel-good story, the father-son duo out there on the course this weekend in New Orleans. Really cool to see. And an event that you and I, we talked about how there haven't been a lot of things to take away from it just because of the nature of the format and everything, but good to see one of these sort of stories out there taking place in New Orleans.
Right. So, so people who don't know, Jay Haas played the PGA Tour for many years, won a number of times out there. really a good dude, a good player. And his son, Bill Haas, won the FedEx Cup championship a few years ago, $10 million payout, you know, so he's doing great. But Bill has been kind of struggling on the tour for the last few years, and but he wanted to play. He's gonna, you know, here's a guy who's playing in this event, and he decided, you know, I want to play with my dad. So he did, and they made the cut. Jay made about a 5-footer on the 18th hole the other day to make sure they got in, and I think they got in at 8 under par. So now they're 12 under and they're T38. So God bless them. And so it is a nice little feel good story. They interviewed him on TV and it was great.
Yeah, it's always cool to have those sort of stories in some of these lesser known events, because it does kind of take some of the stage and the shine. And it's good to see something like that taking place in New Orleans. All right. This segment brought to you by Tullymore Golf Resort, up north Michigan Golf. Without the drive. When we come back, we're going to get you all geared up and ready to go for this golf season. Maybe you were out yesterday. Maybe you've got some plans for the next couple of weeks. We're going to talk with Tony Dirks, the general manager from the PGA Superstore out in Downers Grove. What are the hottest products out there right now? What do you need? What's something that you may be forgetting about and don't want to be left without the next time you're out on the course? We're going to talk to Tony Dirks coming up next here on the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.